Good morning to all of you. Welcome to the Oratory of St. Francis of Sales. We're glad you're here, especially to our visitors. A few announcements to bring to your attention today. The Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, which falls on a Sunday this year, it's 2 weeks from today, will be the grand opening for the Oratory for this coming year, 2025 to 2026. We'll start with a solemn high mass at 10:30. And then have a picnic afterwards, bring something to share. It's a potluck picnic, it sounds like, at Thrash Park. The meat will be provided, however, by the oratory, by the apostolate. There'll be games and activities. Bring musical instruments if you have them. Come and have a good time with the picnic. Then we'll all head back here at 4 p.m. to have consecration of the chalice by Bishop Provost, and then Vespers, along with Eucharistic benediction, and the blessing of commemorative plaques. Please come and invite your family and your friends. That's Sunday, September the 14th, Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Also, please keep in mind that catechism classes will resume on September the 17th. That's Wednesday, I think, September the 17th. Related to that, by the way, this year and the normally the Ember days fall after the Feast of the Holy Cross and during the third week of September. Because of the interesting way that the calendar was changed between 1955 and 1962, in fact, this year the Ember Days will be the following week. That's a long explanation, but they're going to be the following week, so they won't be the week after Holy Cross Day. I could tell you some other time why. Two more announcements. The Christian Mother Society will have an informal meeting on September the 20th, that's Saturday, September the 20th, after the 9 a.m. Mass. And the Three Hearts pilgrimage is coming up. You are invited to join this wonderful spiritual journey, October the 9th to the 11th, in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, to Clear Creek Monastery. More information, please see your bulletin. There's a link that you can find out more. The translation of the readings that we have today, which is not the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. That is to say, in our diocese, it's the anniversary of the consecration of the cathedral church. And in, according to the rubrics of the traditional Latin Mass, that is a first-class feast day in the entire diocese. And so that's why we have today the Mass Terribilis Est, the Mass of Dedication of the Church. So the epistle is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, which translation reads as following. In those days I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself with them shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor sorrow any more. For the former things have passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. For our translation of the epistle today, the translation of the gospel is taken from the 19th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. It's as follows. At that time Jesus entered in and walked through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief of the publicans, and he was wealthy. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the crowd, because he was short. And running before, he climbed up into a sycamore tree, that he might see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for this day I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And when all saw it, they murmured, saying, He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus, standing, said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have wronged any man of anything, I will restore it to him four times over. Jesus said to him, This day salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. As far as translation of the gospel, please be seated. This place was made by God, a priceless mystery. It is faultless from the gradual. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved, the English word terrible means extremely bad or strongly repulsive. However, it was not always so. In its root, terrible means frightful and awe-inspiring and dreadful even. It speaks of the presence of something that is great, something that makes man experience his own smallness, his own feebleness. It speaks of the divine. Thus, when the church sings in her introit for the dedication of the church, Terribilis est locus iste, she's not saying it's a terrible place. She's saying it's a terrible place. That is, with the patriarch Jacob, she's saying, of dreadful majesty is this place. Awe-inspiring indeed is a Catholic church because it is nothing less than the house of God, the gate of heaven, and the royal court of God. Here God dwells in his holy court. Here God reigns on his royal throne. Here God establishes heaven. Today, the 31st of August, is, as I said earlier, the day that the Diocese of Lake Charles observes the anniversary of the consecration or dedication of the Cathedral Church, which, according to the traditional rubrics, is a first-class feast day celebrated in the whole diocese. Yet the first church on that location was not called the Immaculate Conception, but it was erected as a parish under the patronage of St. Francis de Sales by the Archbishop of New Orleans in 1869. When a hurricane destroyed that church in 1879, the then priest in charge, Father Michael Kelly, built a new church, and this one he dedicated to the Immaculate Conception, and it was consecrated by one of the auxiliary bishops of New Orleans in 1881. However, after the Great Fire of 1910 destroyed that church, another was completed in 1913, which is the church that became our cathedral when the diocese was established in 1980. Having been completely renovated, the Mother Church of our diocese was reconsecrated by Bishop Provo on this day in 2019. Now, last week, beginning from our Lord's miraculous healing of a deaf and mute man, Father Metrochon preached about the right and wrong use of the tongue. But in light of today's feast, I would like to speak about another abuse of language, that is, the intentional use of false and pernicious ideas, but using words that sound authentically and traditionally Catholic, a deception. Now, right from the start, I want to say I'm not preaching about this deception because I've had conversations with some of you, and have discovered that you've fallen into, been hoodwinked by these swindlers, not at all. But because they present themselves as traditional, any of us could be taken into this new age poison in the costume of tradition. These are familiar names, and this is, again, why I think it's important to speak about this. For example, have you ever heard of Charles Colomb? He wrote an excellent biography of Blessed Karl of Austria. And yet it was only a few years ago, after being reprimanded by a priest, that he finally gave up his public tarot card readings. And have you heard of the Catholic philosopher? He's an Englishman, Sebastian Morello. He wrote a book called Mysticism, Magic, and Monasteries. And as I will explain directly, the book promotes New Age under the idea of seeking the restoration of a more traditional Catholicism. And though you may not have heard of the book, you may be surprised to learn the name of the publishing house that published this book on basically New Age. It is Ostguski Press. That's right. It's the publishing house of the well-known and beloved Dr. Peter Wasniewski. And so I want to explain what the dangers are in this book and these ideas that are now becoming growing among the traditional community, you might say, traditional Catholics. There are a lot of weeds that we could get lost in, and I won't do that. But I will try to give an overview, and of course, we'll have to leave out some details. If you want to know more, in 2003, the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue put out a very good document on the New Age called Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life. Now, it's a funky title, but it's good and solid information. In any case, Mr. Morello says that in the preface of his book, he says that he has an interest in the esoteric, hermetic, and Neoplatonic. And he connects these three things with his interest in what is called the perennialist traditionalism, and for which he says he has much sympathy. So what are these things? Maybe you've never heard of Hermeticism or perennialist traditionalism. This is not traditionalist like we call it, it's traditionalism. He says that he desires a renewal in the church and promotes several time-tested ideas. Who could be against a renewal in the church? He says that we need to increase our devotional life. We need to have a re-emphasis on the monastic life. We need to have a recovery of the mystical and God-centeredness of civilization. All wonderful, excellent goals. But although he uses in his book the name of St. Thomas Aquinas, he rather points to other names such as Hermes Trismegistus, Pico de la Mirolanda, Edmund Burke, and Joseph de Maistre, all of whom were involved in the occult and in perennialism. What is perennialism? In short, perennialism, or perennialist philosophy, is the idea that there is a body of ancient truths, perennial truths, hidden, occult, in all the world's religions, past and present, and that just a small little group of elite knows how to find and preserve this knowledge that is common to all religions of the world, and in which, therefore, its adherents will find salvation if you come to know these perennial truths that are common to all religions. In this, it is directly related to the worldview, at least, of Freemasonry, as well as other New Age or spiritualist or occult movements that started in the Renaissance humanism and in the occult theosophist movements of the 18th and 19th centuries. Perennialism or traditionalism asserts that there is more to life than the material things and the forces that science can measure. Truly there is. But it says that this more, these occult or hidden forces, that man with the right knowledge, this perennial knowledge, can tap into these occult forces and control them. This is New Ageism. This is occultism. But this is what they mean when they say they want to re-enchant or re-sacramentalize our view of the world to recover a supposedly traditional vision of the faith. And of course, as I say, the danger is that it's partially right. God has left his fingerprint in his creation, and he has chosen to use created elements as instruments of his power, the sacraments. However, the perception of the action and the power of God in nature and in the church's prayers and sacraments is not magic. Magic attributes power to some force other than the true and only God, and man does not need to tap into secret forces to have access to God's power. He offers it freely and publicly in his church. Moreover, this thing called Hermeticism, or to use the English pronunciation, Hermeticism, or perennialism, is ultimately syncretistic. It rejects the claims of the Catholic Church to be the possessor of the only saving knowledge and power, and instead sees the Church as one possessor among others. Now, lest you think that I'm exaggerating, Sebastian Morello himself has not called himself a perennialist, but he's got a podcast called Nostalgia, not with an N, but with a G-N, from the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge, and in our modern context, secret knowledge, related to several heresies in the church known as Gnosticism. Now, in his podcast, Nostalgia, he has not only had respectable Catholic men of tradition, such as Dr. Joseph Shaw of the Latin Mass Society of Great Britain and Wales, but he has also had the Australian Benedictine priest, Father Robert Nixon. Now, maybe you don't know Father Robert Nixon, but he has been the translator of at least one spell book for a publisher called Hedin, as well as another book that mixes up stories of the Blessed Virgin with some quotes from the famous Satanist Aleister Crowley and the satanic poet Charles Baudelaire. These guests, along with Charles Colomb, also has been a guest, are or were involved all in the occult. Thus, whatever Sebastian Morello and his book's explanation might be for his admiration of perennialism or traditionalism, whatever way he claims that he wants to restore the church's sacred tradition through ideas from these neo-pagan occultist lines of thought, it is nothing less than the wolf of the New Age under the sheep's clothing of the traditional Catholic faith. In fact, Morello himself compares the church's sacred prayers and her sacraments and our sacramentals to white or sacred magic to oppose the black magic of modernism, he says. You see, he uses these words that we know well, this modernism, this tradition, the sacraments, but it's simply blasphemy. He compares this to magic. He uses this image of occultism and slips it into our desire to restore the church. His argument, in fact, in his book is that Christians have believed in magic all along. It's a transparent attempt to smuggle occult elements into our faith. And this is the danger. We are being offered alleged access to a purer, forgotten, or even suppressed wisdom, he says, that will bring about a restoration of our families, of our communities, the church. But it is not so. It is not so. It reminds me of how often I hear about, you know, people, good Catholics, traditional Catholics, you're restoring these strange devotions. Oh, I have the devotion to the toothache of Christ during his passion. This is going to convert my friend. I mean, I just made that up. The point is that you have these very odd things that people come up with. They want you to bless the purple scapular or something, which is very, well, anyway, I won't go into that. But the point is that this is a danger, precisely. This is an illustration of the danger that in our search for, in our desire for, in our hunger for a restoration of the faith and of solidity, we can sometimes grasp at things that are illusory and even dangerous. And so to return to today's piece, let us hear the translation of the post-communion oration for this Mass of the dedication of a church. It says, O God, who out of living and chosen stones dost prepare an eternal dwelling place for thy majesty, come to the aid of thy suppliant people, so that what profits thy church by physical expansion may also enlarge her by spiritual increase. The epistle for the Mass of this dedication, today's Mass of the dedication of a church, offers us an image of the heavenly Jerusalem, of which the visible buildings we consecrate are meant to be a foretaste and a participation. However, there is no hidden, no occult knowledge here. All is open. Instead, the post-communion collect makes it very clear that the church's faith is that the spaces that will shine forth with the truth, the goodness, and the beauty of God, the places where God's majesty is to dwell, is the soul of the saints. The members of the mystical body of Christ, transformed by grace and penance, a way offered to all publicly. Beloved, therefore, let us not be drawn away by the uncertainty of our times into desperate grasping after supposedly real Catholic faith and devotion, and find ourselves adherents in the end of a sham version of it. The recovery of a sacramental worldview, an enchanted world in that sense, is needed, to be sure, but it is not to be achieved by imitating or admiring New Age, occultic, or pseudo-ancient knowledge, some kind of Catholic magic. It is to be found in a recovery of the traditional and public forms of the church's worship and belief, such as are promoted here at this oratory. Remember that the Catechism warns us that the deception of the Antichrist will be to offer faithful Catholics another version than the one preached in every age by the apostles and their successors, the bishops and the priests. He, the Antichrist, will offer the world apparent solutions to the sufferings and the trials of this life, apparent security. But however the slight difference may be, it will be the offer of another gospel, a different gospel, a gospel that is not of Christ. And this is exactly what is on offer with Sebastian Morello and others like him, who propose to bewildered Catholics a so-called traditionalism or perennialism under the guise of a recovery of Catholic sacramentality and the enchantment of the sacred liturgy. Today's feast recalls to us the great hope that is held out to us by the gospel, a royal public announcement of the offer of salvation by the King of Kings. The consecration of the cathedral teaches us about the consecration of the body of the Christian, that the souls and bodies of the saved, of the elect, will be, after the resurrection and general judgment, the eternal dwelling place of the majesty of God. Thus he will be God with them. They will be his, and he will be theirs. And this, therefore, is our great and most important concern of life, the salvation of our souls, that we become fit stones in the new Jerusalem that is above, that our souls become prepared to be a bride adorned for her husband. And while the path to reach this salvation is difficult, as the Lord has warned us, it is not difficult because it is hidden and revealed only to a chosen few at the cost of putting our trust in some parallel arrangement, some ape of the church. Instead, the knowledge and the wisdom and the power and the goodness and the salvation of God is offered to all. But it is hard because it is demanding. It demands the commitment of the whole self, of our whole hearts and our whole minds and all of our strength. And so many prefer another way. But salvation came to the house of Zacharias, not because the Lord took him aside to teach him something secret, but because Zacchaeus was converted in the depth of his heart, turning away from sin, restoring justice to his neighbor, and following with generous charity the only Lord, the only need, the only one in whom we can be saved, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thank you.